Hey, welcome to the Self Coach Cycling Podcast. My name is Paul, and in today's podcast, I need to introduce a new concept. So we are rebranding away from the MapDeck Cycleworks branding and taking the gym side of our business into this new brand called Strength to Speed. Really think that it totally epitomizes our philosophy about training, about the foundations of all sport is strength, and then applying that to whatever sport that you do to become faster and better at it. So I'm really excited by this new branding, and this is going to be the first video that we upload to the new YouTube channel. So if you're listening to the podcast on the Self Coach Cycling Podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, whatever that might be, please come over and take a look at the YouTube channel where this exact same podcast will be up, but in a more of a video format. And as I'm showing some slides, some of them might make a bit more sense. Hey, some of you prefer to listen, some of you prefer to watch, and now you've got the option. So, yeah, there'll be no more fitness content over on the MapDeck Cycleworks channel. We're going to keep that reserved for bike maintenance and that sort of thing. And this is going to be the channel dedicated to fitness and coaching, definitely down that route of supporting you as a self-coached athlete, trying to make good, intelligent decisions. Now, today's podcast, I was just flipping through YouTube, and I don't normally watch the GCN show, the Global Cycling Network, but I was, because a video like sprung up that sort of got my attention. And then, I noticed that actually just recently, because I guess it's winter, they've started to put up some really good cycling fitness videos, which are starting to mirror our philosophy here. And that's interesting, because we've been always quite progressive in how we coach and how we deliver and our messaging. And the GCN show is sort of caught up to that, if you like. And it's nice that where we are is starting to make its way into much more mainstream stuff. So, and yeah, I think this is quite good. It kind of means that the research that we've been doing and reading is now starting to be a bit more accepted, and sort of big magazines like Global Cycling Network are sort of happy to publish it, where I guess we've probably been guilty of probably being a little bit too progressive sometimes. So what I want to do is I want to go through some of their videos. Some of them are fantastic and totally get behind, and I want to point those ones out. Others have surprised me, I have to say. And some of them are contradictory as well. Some of them are contradictory, depending on who they're speaking to. So quite interesting. I'm going to flip over into the GCN show YouTube thing, and I'm just going to just offer my opinion, critique. No, that's probably the wrong word. Probably coming at it from the point of view that we train with lots of different people. So we're not like an academic institution where we train with a small sample size of very similar people to try and get a specific answer. We tend to read that research, apply it, and then draw our own conclusions. We work with a large sample size, like, you know, over 200 people, and across thousands of different types of workouts, in Pilates, in yoga, in strength, in barbells, in kettlebells, on turbo trainers, in VO2 max tests, in Moxie tests. So we've got this big breadth of knowledge, and out of that we sort of spot patterns, and we also see our athletes all the time. So we don't necessarily go into finite detail, but I think we've got come from a different place where we have this big breadth of knowledge and how we apply it, and we do that plan, do review, speak to our athletes, see how they're performing, issue new advice. You get the idea. So that's where this critique is coming from. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, so this is the this is the GCN show Facebook page. Now, before I did this, I wasn't expecting to see today's upload on there, but I've just watched it quickly, and I'm going to start with it because it completely threw me off kilter, because I was about to be going, oh, this is brilliant, well done, GCN. And then this thing pops up, and I was like, oh no, what have they done? So this is get big legs. Now, if there's one thing that cyclists are most afraid of about stepping foot inside the gym, is their fear of getting big. Like, cyclists want to be lean and light, and the idea of doing strength training alienates them because they think they're going to end up like this picture, this big-legged, heavy, cumbersome thing. So I'm really surprised to see this on here. And they've got a very good bodybuilding coach in there, but what they're doing in this video really does go contrary to what they've done in previous videos and actually contrary to what we do here. And that is, we tend to recommend you do mobility and range of movement training first. You've got to be able to perform that movement, you know, a lunge, a squat, a deadlift, get core tension, shoulder mobility, hip mobility before you even touch a weight, and which is what they've been recommending in previous videos. I'll show you in a second. This video is about stretching, warming up, and then getting straight onto the machines, doing lots of reps at sort of a medium weight. Whereas really, to build strength, pure force production, the proven way to do that is low repetition. So you might only lift the barbell 5 times, rest, maybe lift it again 5 times, but that weight that'll be on it will be heavy, and you wouldn't have approached the bar until your mobility and your technique are good. Now, the reason we like training as cyclists with barbells and kettlebells is because it encourages the proper chain of movement. So everything has to work together to get that weight off the floor or off the rack and into a squat. Whereas when you're using machines like they're using here, it takes away that thought process. And the reason that's taken away that thought process is because you want to do multiple reps. And building multiple reps, like 20, 30, etc., you're just going to get this what they call muscle hypertrophy. Your muscles just get bigger. Yes, they do get stronger with it, but what we want to do as cyclists is lean force production. And that the way to do that is small amount of reps and really heavy. Now, we did a video looking at the trainer road recommendations about how strong should a cyclist be. It's over on the MapDeck channel. I might transfer it to this one. I don't know how that's going to work. And that's really how we recommend. And that's how these guys are normally recommended in the past, actually. And if I sort of flick into this, you might see there's another YouTuber that I really recommend called Dylan Johnson. And he is a young guy, but he really looks into the academic research and presents sort of the scientific side. It's almost like an academic presentation of the argument, if you like. But his video here really backs up what we're saying about, you know, barbell, kettlebell type of work on low repetitions, heavy weight, get the range of movement sorted to avoid injury, and that's the way to do it. So that's good. There was another one on here as well, but it seems to have disappeared, so I won't worry about that too much. Okay, the next video I want to look at is, again, something we do a lot down here is stay fit and fast as you get older. Lessons from a master. This is probably where we're getting the most clients at the moment, is the older cyclist or the midlife cyclist who is experiencing changes in their bodies but still wants to perform and is reading all the books like the Midlife Cyclist books, etc., and about and learning about strength training and learning about VO2 max and starting to ask those questions about how they've trained in the past and perhaps how they should train going forwards. So what's in this video is really good, definitely worth a watch, and really backs up what we're saying, that as you get older, the things that you're going to start noticing you're lacking in is pure force production. As we get older, we lose our fast twitch muscles, our big powerful force producing muscle fibers, and we need to sort of replace that with a stronger slow twitch muscle. Now, the other thing is that we tend to lose our VO2 max quite quickly, and so we need to change how we do that, but we can't just keep going of like big punishing sessions. Have to be quite targeted VO2 max sessions to try and slow down the decrease in our VO2 max. So this video, definitely worth a watch. It really does back up what those books are saying, what we're learning here, what our athletes are experiencing. It's a good one. So yeah, well done. The other good video they've done, how to find zone 2, definitely worth a watch, this one. Now, we've been really pushing this zone 2 training, and I guess what they're coming from is everyone is calling it zone 2 training, and so the title makes perfect sense, but I do wish that we would move on from the zone 2 label and try and clarify what it actually is. And I like the fact they've done this video. They've taken two different approaches. One, they've gone down the very scientific approach, which we do here with the VO2 mask, with the lactate testing, and given the athlete all the data they need to believe it. Because one of the biggest things we find when we start to encourage riders to take on zone two training is they don't believe us. It's they'll go out and they'll try and ride their bike at a certain heart rate or a certain power output, and we get an immense amount of kickback. It's too slow. It doesn't look like, it doesn't feel like I'm achieving anything. I can barely ride a bike at that speed. And the sort of the comments that we get, and we have to sort of fight through that and go, if you do it, you will get faster at that heart rate, I promise you. And it doesn't take long, actually, to do that. So it does need an element of trust. And we find that testing really helps that. If we can have the VO2 mask on, if we can have that moxie on, if we can take those blood samples, then all the data sort of lines up and athletes are much more willing to try. They also go through the MAF test or something similar, the maximum aerobic function test, which if you're an athlete down here, you know about, because Kath has been doing that lots in her Thursday class. And this is a bit like the torque test. We're trying to find at what point you can torque and where your aerobic function is, but remembering that that decouples. So we talked about this in podcast before as duration continues, i.e. your workout gets longer and longer, the intensity increases, so it gets harder and harder. And that's why you get that heart rate decoupling where you might be doing 150 watts or something at 130 beats a minute heart rate, but that 150 watts eventually requires an even higher heart rate to sustain. So that's what we call decoupling. Now, so this video is great. The one thing in it I would say is that they talk about fat burning. And a little bugbear of mine is I wish we'd sort of change the dialogue a little bit on that and evolve it into oxidizing fat. Because I think when we talk about it here in terms of beta oxidation, that process of using oxygen to access the lipids, etc., and through the process of beta oxidation creating energy, it really does help people's understanding of why it's important to be at that intensity. Because, and again, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, is the whole point of this low intensity training is you're just trying to flirt, I use that word quite a lot as well, flirt with that point where your body is working well aerobically. But if you just try a little bit harder, what your body's going to do is signal that it needs a bit of backup, and it gets that backup from your anaerobic system. And as that backup arrives on scene, your aerobic system sort of backs off a little bit. So, and if you remember from previous podcasts, we talked about the idea of load, stress and strain. And if you want to trigger your body into adapting and becoming better at something, then you really need to push that on. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that zone two that zone two thing is really about stressing that particular part of the system without introducing more anaerobic energy. So yeah, this is great. Take a look at this. Cycling's next big thing, the Super Sapiens. It's the same little device as they use with diabetics, and it is actually is fantastic. Again, about a year ago, I got one of these. I used it for about a month, and I learned so much, and I would recommend it to anybody, is to just get them. I know they're expensive, I know they're a faff, but oh my God, you will learn so much about your body. It's not the sort of thing I recommend using all the time, but I think if you're doing endurance sport or anything, or you're trying to manage weight or menopause, anything like that, because it really does start giving you absolutely live insight into your blood glucose. And that is super, super important, because what I learned from it was how the rise and the falls happen. And it encouraged me to eat more, even during an hour long workout, and then instantly fuel afterwards and trying to avoid those big spikes in things. And it really just gives you that live readout, and you start to visually see what it's telling you and feel what you're feeling, and you start to build up this fantastic picture of how your body is fueling. And this is great. I mean, like I say, I think it's too expensive to be the next big thing. It's too much of a faff. But, like, yeah, that Super Sapiens thing is good. There is another video I want to show you. So, yes, this one. Who gives an FTP? Is FTP totally flawed? And what does that mean? I'm going to flip back to the main camera here. This is the subject that I really, really, really want to get into, because this is the fascinating one. Now, we 7 years ago when we first opened, we were big on FTP. We did FTP tests. We did the Sufferfest. We did lots of sweet spot training. We were totally there. What we started to realize that we entered that from a point where we were just coaching one-to-one athletes, coaching ourselves. And as our client base got more and more diverse, we realized that FTP, the Coogan model, became more and more flawed. And we kind of known this for a while, that really only our absolutely fittest athletes were able to come anywhere close to performing their measured FTP over that hour duration. And the less fit you are, there's no chance. You were like 20 minutes, you might only be able to perform for the actual FTP test. And in actual fact, the whole point of the 2x8 method to get your FTP was actually some unfit riders couldn't pace a 20 minute effort well, because that is the difference. It's not like they couldn't, or it's more like pacing a strong 20 minute effort requires quite a bit of skill, and the 2x8 minute was a lot easier for a novice cyclist to try and actually pace the effort through. So what we're trying to get to is that you then apply that FTP model to a workout, and my God, did it not work. Like, there were workouts which, you know, some people would find super easy, some that would suddenly find another type of workout really, really hard. Applying this one size fits all really, really didn't work. But we adjusted to it. We started to adjust people's FTP and use that as a way of making things harder or easier in the session, and then trying to give guidance as to when we do that. Do we reduce FTP for the whole session, or do we hold FTP high and then as you get fatigued, you drop it down? We played with all these different methodologies, and then the software that we used kind of developed. It gave us the option of being able to test a bit more like the Sufferfest 4DP does, in that we could go, okay, what's your 3 minute power? What's your 8 minute power? What's your 20 minute power? What's your 30 second power? And then we could build workouts quite intelligently. And then of course, we started to get really heavily invested into MOXIE, the muscle oxygen, and we didn't need that anymore, because we had an absolute live to the second read of exactly what it is we're trying to achieve. And what I mean by that is, if we're trying to achieve a rate of lactate accumulation very fast, then we could see that oxygen desaturation very fast. So how hard should a 30 second interval be? Well, the answer to that for us now is choose a cadence in your pedaling, which means that you desaturate to a level in 30 seconds. And then how long should the rest be? Well, the rest should be long enough that you either rest completely, so resaturate fully, or you go again before you're fully rested. And you can build it up that way. You can actually see your recovery rate right in front of you on a graph, and which really guides your training. And depending on the aims of the workout, whether you're trying to take a full rest in between intervals, or whether you're trying to introduce another interval before you're fully rested. And what we're finding is that everyone's different. Surprise. And what's really cool about that is that we can now do that on a group scale, because we have everyone's MOXIE data up on the screens, and we can just bypass FTP completely. Now, we're still kind of going to use it every now and then, because there is a time when the ability to have the turbo trainer set a resistance and you just have to try and match it by turning your legs is actually really important to help you pace out an effort. Whereas when you're on your gears, it's a bit too easy just to subconsciously sort of back off a little bit or try a little bit too hard. So, but by the time we've come to using, you know, a percentage of FTP, we're coming at it with so much more knowledge that, I honestly think that FTP is going to phase out fairly quickly. And I think things like Excerpt, the excellent online training program, that those really, really advanced algorithms that are adjusting the workouts to lots of different parameters as we go are really going to take off. Like TrainerOde is already doing it, you know, adaptive training plans. I think that's where it's going to go. And I think FTP will sort of slowly start to fade into like your 20 minute mean max power or something. And you'll have a much bigger collection of data that when you're doing a workout, and even actually in the workouts, I think they'll be able to recognize when you're starting to fail or you haven't got sufficient recovery, and those workouts will be able to adjust. Like that's going to eventually get built into Zwift and all sorts. So yeah, I think that's where that's going to go, to be honest. So yeah, there's some I've whittled on for so long now, so there's some really good stuff actually. And I wouldn't normally have said that from the GCN show. I'd normally say that they were pushing things which we wouldn't normally agree with for every person. Like, okay, pro athletes is one thing, very, very keen amateurs another, but they were trying to appeal to a mass market with what they were recommending. And yeah, actually, I think what we've been doing is now starting to make its way into mainstream a whole lot more, which is great. You know, it's what sort of, in a way, validates what we do. At the same time, it's backing up that message that us and lots of other training centres like us that do work with lots of different athletes have been trying to promote. And yeah, it seems to be working. Well, I hope that was kind of useful. Go and check them out. Please put your comments below. Let me watch the videos. Let me know how you interpret them. This whole thing is all just like us just sharing ideas and stuff. So yeah. And if you like content like this, again, let me know in the comments, and hopefully I'll see you on the next podcast. Take it easy.